It is great to see everybody here this morning on the first Sunday of the year. Isn't it great? And it's finally here, the new year. Actually, for some of us, it's more like, wait a minute. I thought we just got started with 2021. I was just getting used to writing 2021 on my checks. Can somebody slow this train down? Of course, some of you millennials are out there thinking, checks, how quaint. But it is a new year. And with the new year, there's new ideas, new plans, new dreams, new hope. And as Brock reminded us, new trials, new issues, new problems. I woke up this morning, I was about to put my child onto our van, and it wouldn't deploy. The van lift would not deploy, which was a blessing and a problem at the same time. The blessing was he wasn't already on the van when it failed like that. You know, we couldn't have got him out. But now we got to take care of that. So new year, new problems perhaps. But the newness of it, that's what makes the new year worth celebrating, the new ideas, new plans that are coming. And pretty much every church in America is going to have a sermon today on this verse. Therefore, if any person is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's a perfect scripture for the first Sunday in the new year, isn't it? What a great promise this is. What a wonderful gift it is from the Lord. Amen? We don't have to go into this new year burdened down with the spiritual failures and defeats of last year. Behold, all is new. We can take off, like dirty clothes, all of the old self. And as the Apostle Paul tells us, we can take a fresh breath. Let God renew your attitude and spirit. Then you are ready to put on the new self, modeled after the very likeness of God, truthful, righteous, and holy. It's a new year. It's a perfect time to take that fresh breath, right? So let's all do it together. Take a big fresh breath together with us. Feels good, doesn't it? Now are you ready to put on your new self, modeled after the likeness of God? But the good news, it's even better news, is that we don't have to wait for a new year to be renewed in our spirit, to be modeled in the likeness of God. Because just as God's mercies are new every morning, so are we blessed each morning with another opportunity to take a fresh breath and let God renew our attitudes and our spirits. Each morning, we are blessed with another opportunity to let God mold us and shape us into a better likeness of Himself. Well, none of that has anything to do with the sermon today. That's just something you got for free, for the same price. You just got that for free. Little lanyard there, right? I'm sure all of you can remember what our theme was for last year, right? Overflow, y'all remember that? Practically every sermon that we had last year from January to early October was based on the theme of overflow. So I hope you found some things, some ideas, some word pictures and all of that that'll help you in your walk with Jesus. Here's a couple of things that probably won't surprise any of you. If you've been here for a while at least, Number one, I'm not quite ready to announce the new theme for the new year. And some of you are out there thinking, dude, you had a year to think about this. You knew this was coming, right? What's the problem? Well, I'll tell you. Part of the problem is I am a professional procrastinator. I'm good at it. I don't even start thinking about the theme for the new year until November. And then you got Thanksgiving. And then you've got Advent. And then you've got Christmas. And then you have the 12 days of Christmas. Right? How many of you know which day today is? Which day of Christmas this is? Count it up if you can. Christmas is the first day of the 12. The ninth. On the ninth day of Christmas. That's what today is. So ladies, anyway, the 12th day of Christmas is January the 5th. January the 5th. And that's followed on January the 6th by Epiphany, right? Epiphany. The day we commemorate the visit of the wise men, the Magi. January the 6th. It's also the official start of carnival season here in this part of the world, right? So no, I'm not ready with the theme for 2022. But also good news, many of you provided some great suggestions during the past couple of months that we had the suggestion box back there. I've looked at them already. They're good. Some of them are good. And so I'm thinking that maybe by next week we'll have something for you. But the second thing that has kind of slowed down this process is, I'm not ready to let go of overflow yet. I'm not ready to let go of it. And yes, I remember that way back on October the 3rd, I said we were wrapping up our study of overflow, going on to something else. You might even remember that we ended that day, October the 3rd, with everyone standing and praying out loud this beautiful prayer to the God of overflow. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Y'all remember doing that? Well, we did it. I know some of you are like me. It's hard to remember. Anyway. So what have you been praying for since that day in October? What have you been praying for with this prayer in mind about God's ability to do abundantly more? What have you been praying for? Or maybe you haven't been praying for something because, well, it's just, there's no way God would do that. Anybody? Well, if so, you're in good company. You're in good company. If you kind of think, well, God would never do that. Think of Moses. The great Moses. A man who had observed God's power and God's ability from a front row seat, right? At one point, he found himself thinking, there is no way. And it wasn't at the Red Sea, by the way. It wasn't at the Red Sea where you might think, okay. He had no problem with what God was going to do there, even though he didn't know. He knew God was going to take care of it. He had no problem with that. It came later. As he's leading the people, they start, what? Grumbling, mumbling, complaining. And this time the complaint was, we don't have any meat to eat. All we have is this manna. We don't have any meat to eat. I wish we were back in Egypt, where we could have some meat. Think of the great fish that they served. Forget about the fact that we were slaves. Oh, I wish we were back. Well, God tells Moses, you know what? I'm going to give them meat to eat. I'm going to give them meat, not just for one day, but for a whole month. They can eat it until they're sick of it. You know what Moses said then? He said, no way. Actually, this is what he said. Moses said, Lord, here are 600,000 people standing around me, and you say I will give them enough meat to eat for a month? If we kill all the flocks and herds, that would not be enough. If we caught all the fish in the sea, Mark, that would not be enough. Don't you love Moses telling God what he can and cannot do? Moses put God in a box. He said, nope, no way you can do this. Well, God's reply to Moses was classic. Then the Lord said to Moses, when did I become weak? Now you shall see whether my word comes true or not. God says, oh yeah? No way. Oh yeah? Way. There is a way. There's a way. But Moses couldn't see how it was going to be possible. It's impossible. But for God, the impossible, that's easy. I do that with my eyes closed. The impossible. And look what happened. The Lord sent a strong wind from the sea, and it blew quail into the area, all around the camp. The quail were about 3 feet deep on the ground. There were quail for a day's walk in every direction. Talk about overflow. And the quail were down just like the manna. All you had to do was walk out of your tent and pick up dinner. It was perfect. It was great. So which way is the wind blowing for you? Which way is the wind blowing for this church? Do we, like Moses, have a hard time believing that the wind that's in our face will ever shift? Like Moses, we kind of put God in a box sometimes. Do we think that we are forever going to have to experience a strong headwind? Are we fated to experience a strong headwind, keeping us mired and keeping us stuck in a place that is not good? It's difficult. A place where we work and we work and we work, but like Jesus' disciples when they went rowing in the boat at night, in a story that we studied in Bible class, they were rowing and rowing and rowing into a headwind, and they weren't getting anywhere. Are we doing the same thing, thinking we're never going to make any progress? By the way, let me stop here and just say, if you're not going to Sunday school Bible class, 9:30 on Sunday morning, you're missing a great spiritual feast. You're missing it. God wants you to be there so you can be fed. Why don't you make it your New Year's resolution that I'm going to get up an hour earlier and come to church and go to Bible class at 9:30? Anyway, have you ever been in that spot where you're rowing and rowing and rowing against the wind and just not getting anywhere? I've been there. I bet you some of you have been there. When we are there in that spot, instead of putting God in a box and saying, there's no way, wouldn't this be a good verse to memorize? These are the four winds of heaven that disperse his power and enact his will. They have been standing in the presence of the Lord of the whole earth, awaiting his command. The winds are in God's control. And God can easily, as he did for Moses, shift the wind. And suddenly, we are encountering blessings upon blessings upon blessings 3 feet deep around us and in a day's walk all around us in every direction. This would be a good verse to memorize. Some of you are saying, okay, that's great. But doesn't this verse also mean that God's in charge of the headwind that I've been facing for how long? Well, possibly. Possibly it is. And if it is, maybe that means that you're going in the wrong direction. Anybody? Going in the wrong direction. He's trying to help you. Or maybe it means he's making arrangements for you to know beyond any doubt that he is the one who is rescuing you when that rescue comes. It's from God, not from yourself. It's from God. Or maybe he is wanting you to experience something amazing. And like Peter, when he stepped out of the boat on top of the water, maybe he's calling you to step out of the safety of whatever boat you're in and step out on nothing more than faith and trust in him. Do you know God's dreams for us are bigger than our dreams for ourselves? You believe that? Do we believe in a God like this God here, who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think? Do we believe in a God who wants to bless us? Do we believe in the God of overflow? Let me suggest to you that if we did, maybe our prayers would change. During the week when I'm up here thinking about new themes or not, working on sermons, sometimes I'll leave my desk and come in here. Come into this big, empty auditorium. And I'll get out there and start walking in the pews. And I'll say, God, would you bless the people who are sitting, who will be sitting in these rows, in these chairs? God, would you bless the people who are going to be sitting in this row? Then I'll skip over some rows and point. What about the people who are sitting there? What about the people who are sitting there? Bless them, God. Bless them. Did you notice something about that? I'm stepping over a bunch of chairs. Going right by them. A bunch of chairs. Because they're usually empty on Sunday morning. Look around. There's a lot of empty chairs in here today. And I guess I have just come to accept it. There's nothing that can be done about it. In fact, I've come to David and said, can we just get rid of some of these chairs? Can we move them out of here? David, to his credit, says, no. No. But empty chairs just don't tell a great story, do they? But what if? What if I started to believe in the God of these verses? And what if I read and believed the God of these verses? Enlarge your house. Build an addition. Spread out your home. Spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. What if I believed in that kind of God? Would our actions reflect that we believe in the God of these verses? The God of overflow. Matthew chapter 9, I don't have a slide for it, but in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. It's abundant. Some versions say it is great. It's tremendous. The harvest is ready. You know what we don't have? What Jesus said we don't have? We don't have enough workers. We don't have enough workers. Pray that God will send workers into the field, because the harvest is big. I promise you we're going to move on from the theme of overflow in the new year. But will we remember that the God of overflow has entrusted us, not somebody else. He's entrusted us to bring in the overflowing harvest. And when I say us, I mean you and me. We've been entrusted by God to bring in the harvest. The God of overflow wants his people to be people of overflow. People who trust in his provision. People who live in, or who lean into, if I can use a phrase that's a lot of pastors are using these days. Lean into. Lean into his promise. Is that going to be Tammany Oaks Church of Christ in 2022? Is that going to be you in 2022? Let's stand and sing and encourage each other.